KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
Last month, the National Association of Realtors settled a series of class action lawsuits in an agreement that will change how realtors' fees work.
The National Association of Realtors says it's reached an agreement to end litigation that alleged the NAR artificially inflated commissions for real estate agents by requiring home sellers to also pay fees to the buyer's agent. Robbie Braun, a partner with Cohen Milstein Sellers & Toll, says that requirement violated antitrust laws.
We really see our lawsuit as providing an opportunity for buyers to save money either by deciding not to retain a buyer broker at all, or to retain one on a limited basis, and to negotiate the fees that are being paid to those buyer brokers.
Where the home sellers usually would cover a standard commission for the buyer's agent, now buyers will likely have to cover that, but they'll be able to negotiate the percentage. So who's really saving money here?
For a first-time home buyer, the cost to actually get into that first home is going to go up by at least 2 or 3%. This is going to be a significant change the way this industry transacts business.
I'm Matt Leon, and today on KYW News Radio In Depth, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers, get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. We're talking with Dr. Carter Murdoch, Executive Director of the Henderson Real Estate Institute at Drexel's LeBeau College of Business. He explains what the lawsuits were about, what the settlement agreement will change, and how it will impact sellers, buyers, and realtors. These lawsuits that led to this, you know, multi-$100 million settlement, what were the lawsuits all about? What was at the crux of this?
Well, it really kind of started way back in the early to late 90s when the concept of buyer's agency really became a mainstay, was implemented in the industry. And what buyer's agency really means is that the buyer's agent represents the buyer. But what happened is you had to disclose, hey, I work for Mr. Buyer, but I'm going to be paid by the seller. So that came down again in the mid-90s, and that really set forth basically the publishing of the cooperating commission or the buyer's agent commission in the MLSs. The big challenge as it relates to all that is, I mean, imagine this. You're listing your house, right? You're probably listing your house with someone you know, a listing agent that you know. You really have the ability to negotiate with that person because they're a friend, right? They're someone you know and you trust. But when you put forth basically a cooperating commission, it migrated to the mean basically because you wanted to make sure your home got shown, right? So you could sell your home. I mean, it's human nature. Think about it for a second, right? You're an agent. You're in the field. You get to choose basically, unless the buyers have told you what houses they want to see, you get to choose what homes you think is best for their needs. Well, if one's offering a 3% cooperating commission and one's offering a 2% cooperating commission, which one are you going to show? So what ended up happening is the industry migrated to the mean, right? And the mean today basically means, generally speaking, if it's under $1 million listing, it was typically a 3% cooperating commission. If it was over $1 million, it was typically a 2.5% cooperating commission. So that really led to the antitrust lawsuits, right? Sitzer-Burnett was the landmark case, right? Antitrust landmark case. It basically, the verdict was rendered October 31, just this past year, 2023. The award basically was almost $1.8 million. To give you an idea, though, with antitrust cases, it's three times damages, right? So it's over a $5 billion verdict.
And million or billion, I'm sorry.
Billion.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not little money. This is big money. So it really cited basically five primary companies or firms. Number one was the National Association of Realtors. Kind of going in descending order by size, you had Anywhere Real Estate, which used to be Realogy. You have Keller Williams. You had REMAX. And you had Berkshire Home Services. So they were the ones that were directly cited. And the settlement, basically, almost all of them have settled, with the exception of Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
So it was a $418 million that the National Association of Realtors agreed to pay.
Yes.
So as a result of this, how has life changed now for realtors?
It hasn't changed yet, right? And the key word is yet. We don't know for sure how it's going to shake out and how they're going to change the way the industry operates. I can tell you this, right? The DOJ has been extraordinarily transparent in basically saying unequivocally they don't want sellers paying the buyer's agent commission. So they've made that statement very clear in reference to another case, because there's been a number of copycat cases that have come forth. So it will probably shake out that way, where the buyer is going to pay for their own representation. That's the most likely outcome. The net impact is sellers won't have to pay the buyer's commission, right? The cooperative commission. So they'll actually pocket 2-3% more. So that's a positive for sellers, right? But imagine if you're a first-time home buyer, right? You're saving every penny you can. You're not going out to dinner. You're trying to get enough money to get your closing costs, which could be, 3, 4, 5, 6%, right, of the purchase price. It's not insignificant. Now you're going to basically go to your friend and family member, who likely will be your buyer's agent. And you're going to say, hey, I need you to represent me. I need to sign a contract with you. What do I have to pay you? Right? Am I going to pay you 3%? Am I going to pay you 2.5%? I don't know. If I'm working with my Aunt Sally, I have a hunch Aunt Sally's going to say, where she didn't before, hey, I want to give you a break. Let's do it for 2%, right? Where they used to get paid 3%. So for a first-time home buyer, the cost to actually get into that first home is going to go up by at least 2 or 3%. So it's a barrier to entry.
One of the things that I had a problem kind of getting my head around is I struggle to see what was wrong. I've gone through a couple of home sales. I mean, a lot of it goes over your head because right. You're just overwhelmed with numbers and paperwork and all. But I've never come away going, oh, that seems weird. Like, what kind of explain it to me as a layman, like, what was wrong here? Who was being hurt?
Well, I could tell you from this perspective. I worked at the National Association of Realtors for 2.5-3 years. There was no evidence, nothing I ever heard in a meeting anywhere, and I worked there from 01 to 04, of any concept of price fixing. It was never uttered. It was exactly the opposite. Everything we put together, all commissions were negotiable, right? And you go into the local boards, the state boards, across the board, real estate commissions have always been negotiable. You got to remember the way this industry is set up, though, right? Realtors are independent contractors. Right. They work for themselves. Mm-hmm. So do companies train their agents to try to demonstrate their value and their worth so they maintain their margins? Sure. Right. But that's no different than any other industry in the United States. Right. Mm-hmm. So from that respect, I get it. I think your point is completely valid. The challenge really is, I mean, I've taught finance and economics at Drexel and some other schools through the years. And one of the things I always taught when it came to real estate was quite literally negotiate the listing side of the commission, right? So again, under $1 million, typically would be 3% on the listing side, 3% co-op fee, under $1 million to the buyer's agent. Negotiate the listing side, but offer the market rate on the buy side so that your home gets shown at the same rate as every other home, right? So you can sell it. If it doesn't get shown, you're not going to sell your house. That is basically the main concept of the antitrust lawsuit, right? Because it's published and people all know it, all those commission rates on the buy side migrated to the mean, and as a result, was not negotiated. And if I were advising a home seller, I would say under $1 million, listed at 3% as a cooperating fee. You would not want to reduce that. That's the biggest challenge as it relates to this. That part of it has been, relatively speaking, non-negotiable.
So the $418 million that the NAR paid, where's that going? Is that going to people that bought their homes from a certain time to a certain time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So NAR is going to be paying, based on the settlement they agreed to, $418 million over 4 years. Again, other brokerages, three have already settled. Anywhere settled for $83.5 million. Keller Williams for $70 million. And the last one to settle was Remax for $55 million. Again, one is outstanding, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. The way they've laid out the schedule, it depends on the MLS that you sold your property through, right? So if you really look at class action lawsuits, who gets rich? The lawyers.
Right. Right? And I end up getting a check for $23.
Correct.
18 months after
Correct.
It all hit the news.
So I looked at the tables, for example, yesterday. And again, it depends on the MLS. But generally speaking, it's anyone that sold a property through a real estate brokerage in the last 10 years is generally how it is. There's some variation of that, but that's just a quick kind of rule of thumb based on the MLS. And you're right. I mean, think about how many transactions there are, right? On average, let's go back over it. I mean, this year we'll probably do 5.5 million existing home sales. In the height of the pandemic, when real estate was hot, you did 7.3, 7.4 million existing home sales. Call it 2021. Pre-pandemic, you were running kind of in that 5, 7 million unit range on an annual basis. Well, you do that over 10 years, to your point, yeah, it's going to end up being something, you know, maybe not as ludicrous as $23, but, you know, with the increase in inflation and everything else, maybe you're getting a drive through for a family of four.
We need to take a break on KYW News Radio In Depth. We will have more with Dr. Carter Murdoch in just a moment. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. This new year, discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda, KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on KYW News Radio In Depth, let's return to our conversation with Dr. Carter Murdoch. He is Executive Director of the Henderson Real Estate Institute at Drexel University's LeBeau College of Business. You talked about how this first-time home buyers, you know, could feel the pinch of this. Who will benefit the most? Will it be people selling homes that they might get that 2% or that 1% or 2%? They might be able to pocket that instead of having to pay that in a commission?
Yeah. So the seller, again, typically was paying 3% under $1 million. So yes, in most cases, it will probably be that. Can they still offer incentive to a buyer's agent to sell their house? The answer is most likely going to be yes, right? You don't want to limit that or restrict that. So sellers clearly are a beneficiary, right? The other primary group that is a beneficiary would be the home builders. Right, because the way that has basically been set up is the home builders, they list their properties on the MLS, the multiple listing service. So it markets to all the agents. They're basically calling them to come in and show their new homes, right? Their models. They typically will pay a 2.5% kind of co-op on the from the builder to the agent that brings the buyer. In this case, they can quite literally either pay no commission, or they can agree to pay a lesser commission to a buyer's agent. So home builders as a whole, and you saw the stocks bounce, right? The stocks bounce probably 5-8% with the news of the settlement, right, and where the industry is likely going to go. So they're a big benefactor of it.
And for the realtors, just your average person that works for one of these, you know, just out showing houses, is life better? Worse? Can they make the same? They just have to work harder? Like, how would you kind of – where are they in this equation?
Yeah, so there's an untold story here, right? So if you listen to the industry is very clear and saying, oh, it'll be marginal impact. I've spoken to a number of what I would consider industry icons in the last, like, couple of weeks. And they all say their comment unilaterally to me is, well, it's not like sellers are going to take less money because they're paying 3% less to a buyer's agent. And I agree with that statement. That's a fair statement. I come back to the other side of it, though, right? If we're going to ask the buyer to pay for their own representation, again, something 3% or less, whatever that is. You ever heard of the term 6 degrees of separation?
Mm-hmm.
Think of real estate as 2 degrees of separation, right? There's 1.5 million agents in the United States. They're transacting 5.5, 5.6 million existing home sales, which means how many agents do you know?
Oh, just off the top of my head, I can think of 3.
Okay. Any close friends, family?
Yeah, I mean people in my cell phone.
Okay. So if you were to go to list your house and you call Aunt Sally, I don't know if it's
right.
Aunt Sally, but I'm having a little fun with it. Would Aunt Sally try to charge you 3% and go, hey, Matt, man, I want to take care of you. Let's figure something out less than that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think she would do?
I think... No, 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and don't get me wrong, realtors work their
absolutely.
They work their tails off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not easy. When I practiced real estate, there were times I showed one guy 54 homes
right.
before he bought one, right? I was kidding with my wife. I was like, I'm making less than minimum wage, right? So, no, granted, he ended up being transferred 2 months after he closed, and I got his listing, and it all worked out. But when it comes to the reality of this industry, the buyer's agents are going to be the ones that are going to see their commissions shrink. Right? So they're going to be a net loser. I think you can honestly see kind of across, and a lot of the industry's reporting is going to happen slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it. Again, you go to list your house after this new process goes into place, called mid-July of this year, and you call your Aunt Sally, and your Aunt Sally basically says 2%. Well, that used to be 3%, and you never knew it, right? You didn't know she was being paid 3%
because
it was only published in the MLS, right? Which is okay, right? And when you bought, one of the arguments I'm hearing from industry icons like Gary Acosta, who runs NAREP, Hispanic Realtor Association, is that, you know, when people bought their original house, right, they had the benefit of not having to pay a buyer agent fee. Right. And now they're going to have to pay it. So he's basically saying it's going to have a significant impact on Hispanic home ownership. I think it's all home ownership. Right. It's not just Hispanic. Obviously, it's agnostic. But this is landmark. This is going to be a significant change the way this industry transacts business. And we're all going to have to get used to it.
And it's interesting to me because it seems like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but the people that could probably afford it the least are going to get hurt the most. You know, like the realtors that have to hustle, those first-time homeowners that maybe in a lot of situations are like first generation finally getting a chance to buy your house. I mean, I'm painting with a broad brush here, but those are the people. And I think this feels like something that was kind of brought in good faith. Like this doesn't feel like bad. You know, you get a feel where things are put out there trying to screw people, like in good faith, but when you kind of break it down, it ends up hurting the people that can afford to get hurt the most.
You're spot on, right? I mean, the reality is you go to your first time home buyers are going to be the ones hurt the most. Your agents, basically, who more specialize on the buy side, are going to be hurt the most. The biggest benefactor is going to be someone like myself, you know, right? 59, 60 years old, looking for a move down. Mm-hmm. Right. Where, you know, you're going from a larger house to a smaller house. Right. As you become empty nesters and you're declining in the price range. Well, you don't have to pay that buyer's commission. Right. On the sale. Right. I'm going to have to pay it on the buy side if I were to do that. But again, it's going to be on a lower sale price. So the net impact to me will be cost savings.
And we were talking off the air. There's another kind of separate from this. Something you think's flown under the radar that is going to have a pretty big impact?
Yeah, so affordability, true affordability legislation, items that have come through. In my lifetime, there have been very few. The one that has really, really caught my eye, right, but hasn't really been taken on by the industry as being addressed, is the use of attorney opinion letters as an alternative to title insurance. So Fannie Mae changed their guidelines, their lending guidelines, on December 13th of 2023. So, you know, 4 months ago, not long ago, to basically allow the use of attorney opinion letters across all states for loans that are under $1 million at that now across all real estate classes. So what does that mean? For condominiums, they can now be used. For homes with homeowners associations, they can now be used. They couldn't before. They went back and did analysis. They had accepted over 10,000 loans with attorney opinion letters over the last 10 years. And they went back and looked and tried to see how many claims they had on the title side using those attorney opinion letters. And their analysis came back of over those 10,000, the answer was zero. So they made that policy change, right, that guideline change, again, December 13th. Any lender can participate. They can choose to whether they want to or not. But it lowers the cost of title insurance, which is a major cost in closing costs in most of your high-cost states by potentially over 50%, right? So here you got something that could potentially be an offset, right, from, you know, a first-time home buyer or any buyer. Right. But again, it's not being spoken about. My personal opinion, the reason it's not being spoken about is a lot of your larger brokerages own title. Right. And it's a large moneymaker. Right. It's high margin product. Again, how many claims did they have with attorney opinion letters? Zero. Mm-hmm. Right. And pricing is standardized in title insurance. So it's you know, you got your operational costs and the rest is basically put forth to your bottom line. That's a major change. We're probably going to see Freddie amend their guidelines to align with Fannie. They usually do. That does, then that's something, especially first-time home buyers, but any buyer needs to truly consider. But again, it's not being published. It's not being spoken about. You heard a little bit about it in the State of the Union, Joe Biden speaking about it. It wasn't crystal clear exactly where he was going with it, but that what is what he was trying to reference, right? It was a big win for the Biden administration to have that put through.
And for the layman, people that hear the terms, can you give us just a quick primer, title insurance, attorney opinion letter, like what? What's the difference?
At the end of the day, little.
Okay.
Right. So you've got to be a licensed certified attorney to be able to issue the attorney opinion letter. There are what's called insurance wrappers that can go around it. So it can insure the lender. It can insure the buyer. Right. You'll hear a lot of industry jargon that says, well, you know, attorney opinion letters don't offer insurance for the lender or for the buyer. Well, it's offered. It's an option. Right. You don't have to take it. The lenders are going to require it. right? Which makes sense, right? They want to make sure that, you know, that property's transacted, they're holding title to the property, and next thing you know, someone's making claim to it. So they want to be insured on it. And the buyer should be insured, in my opinion, as well, especially if the property has not transacted in over 10 years, right? If it's transacted in the last couple of years and there's been some velocity to the sale, I probably wouldn't even take the insurance wrapper on it, to be honest. It's all cost savings because previously they've done it before, right? And they use that previous title search in the chain of title when they look at it.
That's it for this episode of KYW News Radio In-Depth, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. You can listen to the podcast free anytime on the Odyssey app, and you can find it wherever you listen to your favorite shows. I'm Matt Leon, and we'll have another episode out soon.